Hey, thanks for listening with Sanctuary. We're excited to grow in the knowledge of Jesus with you. Now let's get into the Word. All right, dealing with giants, part three. Dealing with giants, part three. I want to talk to you about living where giants slept. Living where giants slept. Numbers 21, verse 33. How many ever get tired of struggling? Just a few of you. Okay, well, the rest of us. But you ever get tired of struggling? You ever, it's like something after something keeps happening. And then you ask God, you say, God, I just need a big win. God, I know there's these issues over here, but Lord, really, if you could just come over here and fix this big thing, I think we'd be okay. Anybody ever been there before? Man, if you could just fix this one thing, I think everything else would be all right. And sometimes it's just a moment where you say, God, I need a break from all the fighting, and so that I can just start living. Sometimes we just need a break from the fighting so we can take a breath and start living. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. It's easy to give up on this Christian journey. I don't know if you know that yet, but it is. Maybe today you didn't grow up in a Christian family or a church family. Maybe you never saw God work growing up. Maybe you never heard about this and how it works. Maybe you grew up in a place with drama or depression, drugs or alcohol. Maybe in your home it was anger or division. Maybe that was a part of your family tree from generations. I think many of us could raise our hand in that and say, for generations, I saw these things. And maybe you came into the Christian journey and the Christian life and you're thinking, I know that can work for other people, but you don't know my family, y'all. You know, is this something that can work for my family tree? Can it actually work in this family? Maybe it works in that family, but does it work in my family? My family tree's got a few broken branches. It's got a few things that maybe aren't quite like everybody else's family. And does Jesus work for every family? Maybe you've been a Christian for a while and it was easy at first, and then life happens. It was easy and now you're overwhelmed. Maybe today fighting this battle and that battle and this battle and that battle, and you think, God, what I really need is for you to win that giant battle over there. You know, sometimes we have faith, we think we have faith to trust God for that big battle, that big thing. But really, I'm wondering today if we have faith to trust God for all the little things. God, I got all these little things, but if you could just take this big thing over here and get me to the end, I'm in like A, B, C, I'm in D. If you could just get me to Z, I'll be okay. Just win Z, God. If you could just win Z, and then I'll take a break and we'll be good. That's what I want you to do. But maybe God is teaching us something that if we think we have faith for the big thing, do we really have faith for the little things? Do we have faith in the process, that there's a purpose in the process? I don't know if you know this, but God is faithful. Somebody say amen. Amen. God is faithful. He is a delivering God. He's unwavering true to his word. He's unmatched in his power. But no one can just hand you the abundant spirit-filled life. Did you know that? No one can just hand you, say, hey, Joe, hey, here's the abundant spirit-filled life. I got it for you. Here you go, bro. My mom and dad couldn't hand it to me. I, as a pastor, can't hand it to you. A previous generation of Christians and churchgoers cannot hand you the abundant spirit-filled life. It is bought for you by faith in Christ through grace. It's freely given, but it is a fight. How many know that's true? It is something you have got to fight for in faith. It may be free, it may be purchased, but it is not freely given from a past generation to you. It is for you and you alone to take that free gift and fight for it by faith. You know, every war is won through many small battles. And faith is much the same. It's many small battles that get you to win the war. And maybe today you are in a bunch of small battles and you're just asking God, please, please win this war I'm in. But there's a purpose in the process. Faith must be contended for. Small battles are going to lead us to the big victory. And sometimes you have to contend for this area so you can conquer the next. Sometimes you have to contend for this area so you can conquer the next. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning. Numbers chapter 21, verse 33. If you are here today and you need a break, I want to give you good news is there is a way you can start living, but you got to keep fighting. You can live where giants slept. Let me give you a recap. All right, it's been 40 years, y'all. We've been in the wilderness. Let's pretend we're a part of the children of Israel, Numbers chapter 21. We've 40 years we've been in the wilderness. We have seen God take us through the Red Sea. We've gone to the wilderness. We've been going around and around in circles because we got some problems with faith, but we're getting it. God's been winning some battles for us. And we've been trusting God, and it's been a process, a learning curve. And one generation who did not have faith to go to the city of Hebron and win against this giant race called the Anakim. They saw them. They said, whoa, those people make us look like grasshoppers. I don't think we can do it. So they ended up spending 40 years in the wilderness, and God said a new generation will have to come and take the land. So now we've got to that point. It's about 38 years now. One generation has slowly died off, and we've been in a battle. Now we're wandering through the desert, and all of a sudden, we're getting close to the finish line. We can see that the city we're going to have to take is a city called Jericho. It's almost close. We're getting close to getting to that place where God is about to take us across this Jordan River, and we're going to have to fight Jericho. But here, guess what? All of a sudden, something unexpected happens. This king from the Amalekites comes, and he begins to attack us from the south of Moab. He's just on the southern side of the Jordan River. He attacks us, and guess what, man? God shows up and shows out. He gives us a phenomenal victory. And just when you think, I got a breath, guess what happens? Don't you know every time you start winning something, the devil's right there to slap you again on Monday? You think, man, great service, and then Monday comes, right? The devil shows up again. Here's what happens. This kingdom, the kingdom of Bashan, and a king called Og shows up, and all of his people come out to meet the children of Israel. But here's the problem. Everything's big in Bashan. This is on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. It's on the right side of the Jordan River, and this is the northern kingdom of the Amorites. But there's a problem. There's a legend about Bashan, and there's a legend about this king named Og. Now, let me tell you, Bashan is a fruitful place. It's a plateau. The cows are big. The sheep are big. The trees are big. But guess what? The people are big, too. And in this fruitful place, this plateau, this place that comes out of nowhere, a place we weren't looking to take, it's a place that's filled with 60 fortified cities, 60 cities with high walls and gates and bars. All these people come out, and their king is in front of them, and his name is Og. Everybody say Og. O-G. That's what you would say if you saw him. O-G. Because Og is tall. Og is from a generation of giants called the Rephaim. These are people who were legends to the Egyptians. They've been in this area for over 2,000 years. They are known as giant warriors. In fact, some people used to call them the people of the dead. I mean, these are people who, I mean, when you look at them, they're fearful. And they've taken this land, and Og now, he's the last one. He's got giant roots. He is a fierce man. In fact, they write down that his bed was so big. His bed was so big, Deuteronomy chapter 3, that it was 13 foot long and it was 6 foot wide, and it had to be made of iron just to hold him up. 13 foot long, y'all. Can you imagine how big this guy is? And he comes out and he says, oh, you think you had a battle? You think you won? We're about to show you something. Now, what do you do in a moment like that in the Christian life? You think, God, I see the finish line. God, if you could just get Jericho, if you could just win the big thing, God, I think we'll be okay. But then problem A comes, and problem B comes, and problem C comes. And you're thinking, God, I just need a day off. Anybody ever been there before? I just need a break. How am I going to get over there to point C, God, if I can't even get through point B? Here we are. Now we've got a giant problem, and a giant is standing again in this generation. The old generation saw a giant, they fled, and they spent 40 years. And what are you going to do when you face your giant? This generation is standing in front of their own giant. There's a giant between the promise. Numbers 21, verse 33. Look, what are we going to do? What are we going to do, y'all? Then they turned, and they went up by the way of Bashan. Everybody say Bashan. Okay, in Og, O-G, the king of Bashan went out to meet them, all of his people, at the battle, for a battle at Edrei. And the Lord said to Moses, do not fear him, for I have given him into your hand, and all, somebody say all, in all his people and his land. And you shall do to him as you did to Sihon, the king of the Amorites. That's the guy that they just beat up yesterday. And who lived in Heshbon. And here's what happens. So verse 35, so they killed him and his sons, and all his people, until there was no remnant left him, and they possess his land. How did they do that? Nobodies, wandering nomads, no chariots, no iron, no catapults, only a few swords. And they say, there's a country of 60 fortified cities with a giant king standing between us and the promise. And Moses says, do not fear. It's the same God who's been fighting for you every step of the way. How many know God is sure to get you to his promises? But you have to trust him for a purpose in the process. Let me say, there is a giant test for every generation. Number one, there's a giant test for every generation. I don't know about y'all. Some of us, we struggled in school. I was blessed. Growing up, my parents were pretty disciplined. I was a straight A student in school, but that didn't matter on test day. I don't know if anybody have panic attacks on test day? Man, it's like no matter how did I well in the class, like test day comes, it's Pepto-Bismol, you're shaking, you flop because you're like, I don't know, there's something about taking a test. Sometimes I was like, if you could just look at all my homework and all my grades, I know this stuff. Just pass me according to my work. But do you know sometimes you have to pass the test to get to the next place? Sometimes, even though you think you've done everything right in the process of life, there is a test that is between you in this season and the next season. You know, every time you want to grow in God, there's a test. There's always a season of testing that precedes a growing season. Israel wants to get to the next place, but there's a test. Maybe today you are asking God, when am I going to get over this junk we've been going through? I want to get to the next place. There's a test. And sometimes it's a giant test. Sometimes it's a giant test. In every new season of growth, you will face a giant test. If you want to pass into the fifth grade, you've got to pass the fourth grade. You have got to get through whatever God is trying to teach you to get to the next place. And if you don't pass the fourth grade, guess what happens? Repeat until you get there. Well, now, God, I don't know the whole no child left behind thing fits in Scripture, but there is a test you have got to pass. And sometimes it's a giant test. This generation looks at this giant, and they have, while the first generation didn't make it, this generation, guess what happened? They'd spent 40 years preparing for war, though, y'all. They had been spending 40 years in desert life, in nomad life, with snakes that bite them, in scorching heat, trusting God by manna and quail and water. They've had unprecedented attacks, and they have not been perfect, but along the way, something inside of them said, I have been through the fire. I have gone through the test. And when this unexpected giant test comes up in my life, guess what Moses says? Do not fear. The Lord your God will fight for you. And they go out and they plunder 60 fortified cities and take on a giant king who's maybe 13 foot tall. One that was feared by even the Moabites and the Amorites. People who knew of this guy said, don't mess with Bashan. Everything is big in Bashan. And they conquer it. You know, maybe the generation before you didn't pass their tests. Maybe the people before you in line didn't trust in God. Maybe you never saw faithfulness demonstrated from your mom or dad or grandma or grandpa. Maybe you lived in a home growing up where your father was angry, your mother was codependent. Maybe your family always fought, and maybe they never said, I love you. You never saw faith. You never saw breakthrough. And today you're fighting your own battle, and here's what you're saying. You're saying, Pastor, it's so hard to keep my attitude in check. It's hard to stop this habit. It's hard for us in our marriage. You don't understand. It's hard with all we've got going on with our kids, with our family, with our jobs. It's hard to get up and go to church. It's hard to get in that prayer closet. It's hard to stay consistent in my Bible reading. Pastor, I don't have time to serve. I don't have time to give. We don't have the extra to tithe. What you're saying is you're not thriving in that desert place. These unexpected battles keep popping up, and you just say, God, if you could just get me to the end, man will win. But what if God is teaching you something? Because if you think you're ready for a new season, here's the giant test. Sometimes he's saying, be faithful with the little. Luke chapter 16, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. And he who is unrighteous is unrighteous in a very little thing is also unrighteous in much. What are they saying? God, if you could just get us to Jericho, we'd win. God, if you could just break through in Jericho, man, we could take the promised land. But guess what happens? You've got to learn how to build in Jericho, build in Bashan before you can bring down Jericho. You have got to learn how to build in Bashan before you can bring down Jericho. And that's what God was teaching them. There's a purpose in the process. If you want God to prosper your home, your finances, your job, you might have to do the small thing and start tithing. If you want God to give you spiritual strength, you're going to have to do the small thing and get up early every day and get into His Word. Come on, somebody. If you want God to restore your marriage, you might need to get in that prayer closet and get on your war room for 15 minutes in the morning and pray for that spouse. If you want God to bring peace in your mind or your family, you might have to learn to take a day off, say no to something, and rest in God. Ah, that's a good one. If you want God to give you joy, turn off all that worldly entertainment and fill your life with songs and spiritual songs. The answer is right there. It's a small battle. You're going to have to win every single day to get to the big battle. If you want God to use you more, you might need to be humble, be faithful and true to your word, be consistent in your commitments, and walk in integrity. God, I just want to be exalted. God, I want you to use me. Well, be faithful today. God, I want joy in my life. Just fill your life with songs today. God, I need peace in my life. Did you read my word today? Man, we want the big breakthrough. We want Jericho to fall, but we haven't learned how to build in Bashan. Because that's the second point. Number two is learn how to build in Bashan. You know, Paul said in Corinthians 9, he said, every good athlete has to know how to compete in the games. They exercise self-control. And he goes on, he says, an athlete who wants to win a race, they practice racing. And a boxer who wants to box, he don't just box in the air, he gets a punching bag and he works on boxing. He says, you've got to learn how to build in Bashan before you bring down Jericho. There's a practice in the process. There's a purpose in the process. Those little battles you are facing today are part of winning in this season, passing this test, so you can get to the next season and the next test. Sometimes you may wonder today, why am I even fighting this battle? Where did this problem come from? God, this wasn't supposed to be part of the plan. I'm sure they're thinking the same thing. God, this guy was not on the map. We weren't even supposed to be in this territory. Where'd this guy come from? Why is he even coming out? We're not even trying to take his land. Why do we even need Bashan? Well, God is about to help you live where giants slept. Look in Numbers 32, verse 33. All right, so we just won. Now what? What are we going to do with all this land? We just conquered 60 cities, fortified cities. Why in the world? God, this isn't even on the process. This isn't what you told us we're going to be doing. But Numbers 32, verse 33. Moses gave to them the sons of Gad, the sons of Reuben, and to the half-tribe of Joseph's son Manasseh, the kingdom of Sion. That's the southern kingdom they just won, the kingdom of the Amorites. And the kingdom of Og, the king of Bashan, and with its cities and territories of the surrounding land. This country, this place, listen, you got to get this. This country became the inheritance for 2.5 tribes of Israel. They thought they were supposed to win Jericho, but really, God was about to give them something unexpected. Bashan is big. Everything's big in Bashan. You're about to get some large inheritance. You're about to get the most fruitful portion of land this side of the Jordan River. And this place became the first time a tribe in Israel had a breath. This place became the first time the tribes of Israel got to end the season of wandering and start settling in the land. It wasn't expected. Listen, sometimes that giant test is about to get you to your breakthrough. Sometimes if you'll just have faith for the small things, God is about to give you things you know not of. And if they would have said, God, this isn't part of the plan. We're supposed to go to Jericho, not fight Og. They would have backed off. They would never have built in Bashan. They never would have seen that this place became one of the cities of refuge, and this became the Golan Heights, the land of Gilead. This became an inheritant place, and 2.5 tribes began to settle. They began to build homes. Their kids began to play in the street. They began to see God prosper their families and prosper their lives, and they're thinking, God, I didn't know this is how you were going to get me there. You never know. Sometimes it's perspective. Sometimes you can't see what God is doing until you look backwards. How many know that's true? And say, God, I see what you were doing now. Now, thank God, I've got a breath. How many thank God for a breath every now and then? I need a breath. Thank God. I didn't know this was how it's going to happen, but look, I look back and I see God had a plan. Now I get to take a break. Well, Let me give you some good news and bad news on that. Joshua chapter 1. Look there. Joshua chapter 1, verse 12. Well, 2.5 tribes began to have a break. Whew! Aren't you glad God gives you a break? We got to have a break. And guess what Joshua says? Hey, so, hey, now, I know you've been fighting hard, y'all, for 40 years, and your kids are going to school, and now you got your 401k, and, you know, man, your yard is 3 inches tall, and there's no crabgrass in it, and, man, you're doing good. But remember what Moses said? Moses said, the Lord your God has given you a place of rest. Somebody say rest. He's given you this land, your wives, your children, and your livestock. They can remain here in the land Moses assigned to you on the east side of the Jordan. But your strong warriors, your fully armed, must lead the other tribes across the Jordan to help them, somebody say them, conquer the territory. Stay with them until the Lord God gives them rest as he's given you rest until they possess their land the Lord God has given them. Sometimes we all think we deserve a break. That is true. But let me tell you something. We don't win till we all win. I said we don't win until we all win. We're in America, everything's individualistic, but that's not how the Bible is. The Bible is about a community, a family of faith, a body of Christ. We are all connected. And Joe, you don't win, and I don't win till they win. We all win when we all win. And if we're not all winning, we still are in this fight together. Somebody say together. Man, sometimes I think I deserve a break. But when I get to this point, I think, man, God, you know I needed a breath. Me and my family are going to take it back. We're going to take it easy for a while. I've served. I've prayed. I have fasted. I have struggled. I just thank God I can take a breath. And God is not opposed to you taking a breath. He wants you to rest in him. He's Lord of the Sabbath. He commands a Sabbath. But sometimes by taking a break, I can be all about me. I can think it's all about me, and I can get focused on me. I'm so focused on me, and I say, well, God, all these small fights, man, small fight to small fight, man, I've got too many problems to help anybody else. I need a break. And sometimes it's easy to focus on me when I'm settling. Sometimes you want to say, seriously, God, I just got here, right? Can you imagine? Like, dude, Joshua, we just put the mailbox up, bro. Like, you want us to leave? You want us to keep fighting? Yeah. We don't win till we all win. Here's what he says. I want you to start living, but I don't want you to stop fighting. Listen, that's a word for somebody. You've been wondering how you're going to keep living. Your problem and problem and problem and problem. God, I'm not living. I don't feel like I'm living. Joshua's like, God will give you a break. We want you to start living the abundant, spirit-filled life. You need to learn how to start living in the promises that God has already provided for you. God has gotten you to a place. Some of y'all have been through trials after trials after trials. God's got you to a place, and you're just now learning to start living. But here's the deal. Don't stop fighting. It's nothing bad about living, but don't stop fighting. You see, you might have a testimony. Look in Joshua 4, verse 12 through 13. He says that Reuben, as the priests, take the ark. And I'm almost done. The priests take the ark. They get to the Jordan River. The water begins to part. The tribes begin to walk across. Here's Jericho. Finally, God, we're getting to the end win. We're getting to the place. And what does it say? It says that Reuben, Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh led. Somebody say led. Led the Israelites across with 40,000 strong, 40,000 warriors. Who was in front? The people who had rest. Listen, you may have gotten yourself out of some bad situations and you think, wow, man, thank God we're blessed. God's gotten our marriage together. He's got my kids. Man, I'm finally getting our family together. Man, we're finally getting it. And I deserve a break. You are the exact person God is about to call to lead other people across. See, that break wasn't about you. That rest, it was rest. He wants you to start living, but he doesn't want you to stop fighting. That 2.5 tribes led the other tribes across to win their battles. See, we're all in this together. Man, that's not a message you hear in America very much, but we are all in this together. I don't win till you win, and you don't win till I win. God has called you to rest, but he's also called you to keep fighting. Maybe today you need to step up and be a leader. Your mission's not over yet. If you've conquered areas and lives and families, you've gotten your family to a place. Victory is just a part of God's process for all God's people. God may be getting your family in order so you can help another family get in order. God may give you deliverance so you can get another person deliverance. God may be getting your family into peace so you can help get another family into peace. See, we're going to go over this thing together. You say, okay, well, thanks, God. I got it from now. I see the perspective now. Really? Hold on just a second. Let me tell you, there's a little bit more. Here's the even better news. You see, building in Bashan was a part of bringing down Jericho. When this generation had no faith to fight in a battle after battle, they refused then to settle. They refused to settle too soon. This generation said, we're not going to settle. These people of Gilead, these people of Reuben, these people of Manasseh, they said, God, okay, we're going to start living, but we're going to keep fighting. I don't understand the process still. I didn't understand Bashan before. I didn't understand what you were doing, but we fought, we won, we got a break. Thank God for a break. But now, God, why are you calling us to go and serve and fight and help these other people? God, can't we just do our part and pray from a distance? Lay hands on them. Raise your hand and just pray over there. Lord bless them. Amen. And do that. Amen. He says, here's the reason. Sometimes we don't get God's purpose in the process until we get perspective. Sometimes we don't get God's purpose in the process until we get perspective. Look in Joshua 2:10. And I'm going to close with this. Here it is. Joshua 2:10. You see, when giants fall, people hear about it. When giants fall, people hear about it. Here's what Jericho said when they saw Israel show up. Together. Remember? Together. Not separate. Together. They said, for we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea 40 years ago. Before when you came out of Egypt. And we just heard what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and to Og, whom you utterly destroyed. You see, we didn't know what that meant before, maybe till today. I heard what the last generation did. I heard what the last generation of believers did, and they saw God cross through the Red Sea and get them on the place. But I just heard what this generation did, and they brought this giant problem down. I heard what this generation did, and they've begun to build in Bashan. We heard from across the river that giant fall, and now Jericho begins to tremble. They begin to wonder, man, if they can do that in Bashan, man, that surely God could do that here in our hometown. Listen, maybe God has taken you through building in Bashan so you can bring down Jericho. We're so worried about bringing down Jericho, you've forgotten there's a purpose in the process. That little battle of reading your Bible, of praying, of being faithful to your commitments, of worshiping every day, of being committed to a body of faith, of working together and fighting together. You think that's just little stuff, and God, I just need a big breakthrough. But listen, that's a purpose in the process. That's part of bringing down Jericho together. If every single one of us said, God, we are committed today to the little things. We're committed today to be faithful in prayer, faithful in giving, faithful in serving, faithful in worshiping. Listen, we are going to bring down Jericho. Oh, I don't know if you believe that or not. We're going to bring down Jericho. There's something God wants your family and my family to do in this generation. I don't know what other generations did. That was part of their process. But this generation has something God wants you to do for His kingdom. Together as a church family, to reach this community, reach this city, reach the lost, reach our families. And we're doing it together every day, faithfully. You don't understand by you getting up and reading your Bible, man and woman of God, that's part of all of us winning. That's part of your family winning. When you turn off that other music and you turn on that Spirit-filled music, I'm not saying other music is bad, but you need to fill yourself with Spirit-filled music. You need to fill your life with songs and melodies and spiritual songs, thankfulness in your heart, being glad of the Lord. You need to be a covenant with your eyes to the things you look at. You need to walk holy and blameless in your secret moments, in your quiet moments. That's how your marriage wins. That's how your family wins. You need to lead your children in commitment to your word. That's how your family wins. It's the little things, y'all. How many are hearing me today? God is calling you to build in Bashan so you can bring down Jericho. If you are faithful even in the little things, God will fight the big things. Here's the lesson. Moses says it and Joshua says it. Before his death, and they're about to cross this river, Moses said, you saw what the Lord your God did to those two kings. You saw what he did to Og. You saw what he did to Sihon. He will do all the same to the kingdoms which you are about to cross. Do not fear them, for the Lord your God is the one fighting for you. Today, what battles are you fighting right now that when you win, your Jericho is going to hear about it? What things do you need to win today so your Jericho hears about it tomorrow? What little things, maybe it's a big thing in the moment. They thought that giant king was a big thing, but in comparison to Jericho, it wasn't anything. And you say, God, this is a big deal I'm in. It's a big deal I'm in. God, all these battles, all these unexpected things. I don't know where this came from. God, I don't know if I can do it. Maybe you need to win that little battle today so your Jericho hears about it tomorrow. Would you bow your heads and your hearts and your eyes with me? Fight the good fight of faith. Father, we want to give you the glory. We want to give you the glory because, Lord, only you are the one who silences the accuser of the brethren. Only you are the one that defeats sin. Only you are the restorer of families. Only you are the giver of joy and peace and eternal life. Only you are the defeater of death. God, only you are the one who can prosper us. Only you, Father, and we give you glory. We cannot do anything without you. Lord, you are the one who holds all things together. You are the head of your church. And God, we cannot fight this fight without you. And we want to first, before we close this service, acknowledge you, Jesus. You are the conquering King. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You are the leader of your church. You are the leader of every family, of every man, woman, and boy and girl in this room. God, it is you. All you, Jesus. We take no glory, no credit for our prosperity, no credit for our good marriages, no credit for our good kids. Lord, we don't take any credit for the blessing of this church. God, it is all you. Jesus, it's all you.